How's it going, Yankee fans? Welcome back to Fireside Yankees with your boys, Alex and Ryan. So today we're talking about one of the Yankees' veteran infielders who could be in line for a career year. We'll see how he does this spring. He's been really freaking good, so there's a reason to believe that he could be pretty special in 2024. And then we're going to talk about a bullpen arm who the Yankees are bringing in or have brought in, and he's been looking really good this spring too. Can hit 100 miles an hour on his fastball. He has had some injury history in the past, and you know Ryan's a big proponent of this player being an impact piece for the Yankees in 2024 in terms of helping out of the relief unit and supporting this pitching staff that really is taking a hit recently with Gerrit Cole and everything that's kind of been going on there. I also want to take a little brief detour to discuss Jonathan Loaisiga and what the Yankees have planned for him as well. So definitely excited to kind of dive into those pieces and how they're going to make an impact in this upcoming season. But Ryan, before we dive into who's going to be the first player we discuss, Gleyber Torres, how are you today, my friend?
I'm doing great. You know, we're talking about Gleyber Torres. We're talking about the New York Yankees. He's one of the walkier Yankees. These are the walkier Yankees, right? Soto, Gleyber, Verdugo, Rizzo technically with that club option, right? He's playing for another contract or for another year on that contract. There are various relievers. It's a very interesting team. They built an interesting roster based off that. Look, there's a lot of there's a lot of data out there that suggests that walkier players have an incentive to play more. Like, they typically pitch more innings or play more games because they're pushing their bodies. They don't want to, lose out on money, and they don't want to say, all right, you know what, I won't play today. It's fine. Because those games played, that gets held against you in negotiation. So it's kind of it's almost like a dark kind of thing to talk about where it's like Gleyber Torres probably going to play through some things because he doesn't want the Yankees or a team that needs a second baseman to go, you only played 130 games last year. We're not giving you that kind of money. What if you just get hurt all the time? So, that kind of thing. But as it pertains to Gleyber, I think having a good spring training is just going to give him some confidence. I just think he needs to go into spring training feeling good, feeling confident, feeling good about the swing, feeling good about the swing decisions, feeling good about the contact, where his body's at, all that stuff. Look, guys, spring training, I mean, I think Anthony Rizzo joked about it when they were talking about, like, Judge and his availability yesterday, where it was like, all right, I think Rizzo walks up to Judge and he just basically goes, oh, if we win the Grapefruit League, do we get all the TVs? Like, kind of mocking the idea that these games matter. And that's kind of where where most of these veterans' heads are at. They're like, I don't care if I'm playing today. I don't care what the results look like. I just got to feel good, right? Like, as long as you feel good leaving spring training, that's all that really matters. And I think Gleyber feels good. The swing's intact. He's not one of those guys that needs to bounce back either. Like, if we look at the guys that we're typically associating with the walkier Yankees or, like, just veterans who are still on the team, who were on the team last year, Stanton, LeMahieu, Rizzo need to be better. They absolutely need to be better from where they were last year. I can kind of accept 101 WRC plus from LeMahieu this year, given the other talent on the roster, but Stanton can't be as bad as he was last year. Rizzo obviously cannot do what he did last year. I kind of assume that as long as he doesn't get concussed, it won't happen again. But Gleyber just kind of has to repeat his 2023 season. He had the lowest strikeout rate on the team at 14.6%. He hit, I think, 273, so his average was there. The power is pretty good. He hit 25 home runs. Like, I heard this in, like, a fantasy kind of context where it's like he does everything pretty well. So if you're drafting him in fantasy, you're going to get a player who does a lot of different things at a pretty solid clip. Maybe not an excellent clip, but at a solid clip. And I think for the Yankee lineup, it's the same thing. We kind of look at the Yankees as, like, this extreme strikeout, extreme power team because that's the reputation they kind of built for themselves, at least during, like, the Baby Bomber era. But this team's a little more well balanced. They have a little more contact. They still can hit a lot of home runs, and I think Torres is kind of just the perfect player to mesh the top half of the order and the bottom half of the order. He's going to be their five favorite teams. I think they're going to put Stanton sixth. I think it'll be LeMahieu, Soto, Judge, Rizzo, Torres, and then so on and so forth. And I think Torres makes perfect sense in the fifth spot. I would like to see him in the leadoff spot as well every now and then, and Boone seems to be open to experimenting with that. But the fifth spot just feels perfect, right? You have him hitting right behind Rizzo and Soto and Judge, and if they have any remnants of those guys still on base, I mean, I could see a situation where his base is loaded and Gleyber Torres is up, and he just puts a statement in that first inning and puts a charge into one. We also know because he puts the ball in the play, there's a good chance he'll, even if it's not a hit or a home run, maybe he'll hit a sack fly. Maybe he'll, put the ball on the ground and somebody moves over or somebody's able to score. He just feels like the perfect guy to put in a run-scoring situation. And, yeah, I'm really confident in Gleyber Torres this year. Look, I know everyone's going to make a big fuss about the defense, but let's be real here, Alex. Nobody cares about the defense. The defense with the Yankees is pretty good. The shortstop position's pretty good defensively. First, third, catcher, Center, I mean, Judge is about an average defensive center fielder. Soto in right field, I think, makes sense. I actually think he'll play pretty decently out there. Not great, but, like, he'll hold his own. And then, you know, a guy like Alex Verdugo, he was a Gold Glove finalist. And obviously you have Grisham off the bench, Trevino off the bench, and you have Cabrera, who's a versatile defender as well. So, look, Torres may not be a Gold Glover out there, but I'm sure that his bat is going to make up for the glove because it did last year. He was a 3-war player, and if we're against 3-war players in the lineup, you clearly didn't watch 2023 Yankees because he did not have a plethora of 3-war players. But again, ultimately, very confident in his 2024 season.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, look, right now, if you're the Yankees and you're looking at guys like Giancarlo Stanton bouncing back or hoping for a lot, I still don't see how Stanton is in the top half of this order. I don't think he's earned it. And at this point, the Yankees have enough talent where they don't have to simply give away these spots in the lineup because they think a guy is going to do this or that. They can just go with the players who are performing the best. And Stanton's been regressing for 3 years. Gleyber Torres has been getting better offensively for better course of 3 years. So I kind of feel as though you give the respect to the guys that are trending in the right direction and force and tell Stanton, look, man, you want a bat cleanup? You got to earn it now. Rizzo's kicking absolute ass this spring. Gleyber is looking fantastic. You know, I think he's hitting, 323 with a 353 OBP and a 710 slugging rate. That's 3 homers and 6 RBIs in 12 games. You know, this is a player that I think could be in line for one of his best seasons. I know we reflect back on his year, and what was it, like 2019, was it, when he had 38 homers? In the juiced ball era, this is, you know, I don't think he's going to hit 38 homers, but if he could even hit more than 25, even match 25, I'd be more than happy with that. I'd love to see his RBIs crack like 75. You know, he hit 68 last year. But again, I think that's more so because the Yankees were not a good offense and getting on base in front of him. I think this year we're going to see Juan Soto getting on base more, Judge on base a lot. Obviously, we have a lot more firepower at the top end of the batting order and we're healthy right now. So we like that, and I think Gleyber Torres will benefit. A lot more RBIs. He was pretty solid with runners in scoring position last season, which I was really, you know, excited to see. So, you know, thinking about what he can accomplish, the Yankees are going to put him in a spot where he can drive runners in, you know, take advantage of his offensive makeup. And look, the defense, yes, he does make mistakes sometimes, but I think that also he's a bit of a polarizing player in that nature. Some seasons, he's solid defensively. Other seasons, he looks like he's never played the spot before, right? Last year, we were like, this guy doesn't look like he's ever played second base. But then the year before that, he has 9 defensive runs saved. And you're like, what? This guy looks like he is meant to play second base. And it's like, okay, well, which version of Gleyber are we going to get? I think we're starting to see the matured offensive version of Gleyber Torres, you know, like a sharp cheddar. He's looking pretty good. You know, has definitely the good flavor. I think that he's finally found his identity as an offensive piece, and he's more of a, like, we've talked about him as being an inconsistent player offensively in the past. I think he's starting to graduate into that realm of, we know what we're going to get out of Gleyber Torres every single year, which is exactly where we want to be. Defensively, that's the last piece to the puzzle. If he puts that together, he could make an all-star this year, honestly, Ryan. I don't even think it's that far-fetched to think that Gleyber Torres could be an all-star at second base this season. You know, so we'll see how that goes, obviously, over the course of the year. But, you know, kind of transitioning away from Gleyber Torres for a couple minutes here to the bullpen, one of the young player, not actually young, 31 years old, he's a little older now, bullpen arms the Yankees brought in, and we've seen what they've gotten in terms of value from guys like Ian Hamilton and Clay Holmes. Now we're looking at a guy like Nick Birdie. And if you don't know who Nick Birdie is, guy throws triple digits, injury prone. He's the classic player the Yankees somehow turn into a very serviceable player. Last year, he only pitched 3 innings for Chicago, did not get much action. He's only pitched, 15.1 innings at the major league level, spent the first 3 years of his career with Pittsburgh. So, you know, high strikeout guy, does not play a lot, obviously, because of the injury. He throws super hard, but that's probably what leads to injury. You know, Ryan, what are your thoughts about Nick Birdie in terms of the value he can bring to the Yankees if he does maintain his health?
Yeah, so Nick Birdie's just gross. Like, dude throws ridiculously hard, new arm slots, just nasty. Everything's just nasty. There is just nothing I can look at in his profile and go, yeah, you know, that pitch isn't very good. Every pitch he throws is very good. Now, command is going to be a question mark, obviously. We're talking about a guy who, you know, has dealt with a lot of injuries, and because he's dealt with a lot of injuries, we kind of anticipate him to have to deal with something at some point in time or need rest or whatever it may be. And any time where you're not consistently throwing, your command gets worse. So, you know, command's going to be a big question mark, but, I mean, and I'm not trying to simplify pitching. I understand pitching is a very complex thing, but you can kind of just tell, like, this is what the Yankees do with Clay Holmes. take your sinker. It's absolutely nasty. It's gross. It's 98 miles an hour, and it drops like crazy. Just throw it down the middle, and batters won't hit it. And guess what? Clay Holmes is a multi-time All-Star and one of the best closers in all of baseball. So, I don't think you can sit here and say that strategy doesn't work. As for Nick Birdie, I think the strategy is going to be the same. Just try to throw the ball down the middle, because he has an unbelievable, just an unbelievable ability to throw the ball and spin the ball and throw it hard and get movement and all that stuff. So, I'm very excited to see him pitch. You know, him, Loaiza, those are going to be two guys to kind of pay attention to, because, you know, we just started seeing Loaiza throwing. You mentioned that new role. I think that'll help him with rest. These are two guys who are kind of like high risk for injury, so you do have to be ready to supplement them if you were to lose them. Obviously, you know, the pressure is so much greater with Gerrit Cole out, right? With Gerrit Cole out, and I think, you know, the report that we just got regarding his elbow having just some inflammation in the nerve is, I'm not going to lie, probably the best case scenario, right? Like, internally, just the loudest sigh of relief possible, finding out that Gerrit Cole only has nerve inflammation and it wasn't, a strain of the UCL, a strain of the elbow, something where you're like, this is going to crop up back later. Obviously, he could get injured again. I'm not saying he couldn't, but, you know, without Gerrit Cole, there's pressure. He'll be shut down for 3 to 4 weeks. He'll throw again after that. You got to build him up slowly. So, again, 10 to 12 weeks, that timeline makes sense. But again, I mean, Alex, the pressure on this bullpen is a lot greater. The pressure on the rotation is greater. But at least in the bullpen's case, you're not worried, right? Like, the Yankees lost Tommy Canley. Scott Efros is out for half the year. Obviously, they added Trevino, and he won't be here for about half a year. And you know what? I feel great about this bullpen. Dennis Santana's throwing a new cutter. I mean, he learned the cutter from Frankie Montas. So, you know, it'll probably be the greatest contribution we got from Montas, which is unfortunate to say. The bullpen's always good. Like, Yankee fans, if you're worried about the bullpen, whoever's their non-roster invite that they put on the team, they're going to be very good. They're going to provide, they're going to show up and show out as long as they're healthy. This bullpen's never going to be bad. This bullpen's always going to be good. I don't know if it'll be the best in the league like it was last year. I mean, it was the that's crazy to even say in the first place. They had the best bullpen ERA in baseball, and Rodon, Cortez, Severino, Montas were all out for stretches of time. Herman obviously suffered the season, or I wouldn't say suffered, but he was placed on the restricted list because of the incident in the clubhouse. They lost five starting pitchers during the season, and their bullpen was still great. Like, and then think of all the bullpen injuries. Loaiza, right? Like, we barely saw him. King went from a reliever to a starter, right? So that's a loss for your bullpen. They were able to still close out games. Their bullpen's always going to be great, and I'm sure they'll just do it again with Nick Birdie and Dennis Santana, and that Loaiza's new role is going to work out for him.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, some news just dropped on Gerrit Cole. I don't know if you saw. Basically, Gerrit Cole said 3 to 4 weeks he won't be throwing. He has nerve inflammation, basically all that we expected. I don't exactly know what that means, but he says he's not going to fully shut down. He's going to be keeping his arm going, keeping it alive. And then once this period of 3 to 4 weeks is over, he will start ramping up at a regular level. So I think we dodged a big bullet, dude. I really do. 3 to 4 weeks of him shutting down, there's still 2 weeks left of spring training, if not a little, I think about 2 weeks, actually. That's very good for us. He's going to start ramping up from there. So I think we'll probably miss him for the first month and a half, 2 months of the season. And I am okay with that. As long as we're getting him back for the length, the majority, we're good. You know, we're happy. So little nerve inflammation, no Tommy John, nothing crazy. Just have to keep it rested, keep it healthy, keep it okay. Don't re-aggravate it. I think we're going to be in fine shape with Gerrit Cole, so we love that. And one little last toss in here, Jonathan Loaiza, the Yankees plan to utilize him in a multi-inning role. So I kind of see him filling that Michael King role, eating those innings up in the middle. He obviously is injury-prone over the course of the last couple seasons, so the Yankees feel as though this is a better way to keep him healthy and going, giving him a kind of strict amount of innings that he's going to pitch. Every couple days, he'll pitch a couple innings, keeping his arm alive, keeping it well, not letting it get stiff, not letting him pitch one inning here, one inning there, giving him more reps to keep that arm alive and well. So I think that's a good strategy for Jonathan Loaiza. Ryan, what do you think about how the Yankees should utilize him in 2024?
All right, so, and look, I have, again, all due respect to fans, people who analyze the team, radio hosts, all that stuff. I think people need to stop criticizing the Yankees' usage of pitchers, right? Like, I was seeing a little pushback on Loaiza being used in that role. He's just going to get hurt, whatever. he was getting hurt doing the normal reliever thing, like consistently. And I'm not saying Loaisiga is the best reliever in the world, but Alex, in the postseason, he was lights out. When he's healthy, he's lights out. He is such an integral part to this team's ability to win baseball games. And also, what you can do is say, Loaisiga, here's the eighth and the ninth inning. Holmes, you get the night off. That's your game. I mean, I know that this is a little bit idealistic, but Stroman is pretty good at pitching deep into games. Let's say you have a matchup where Stroman pitches the first six innings, then you hand the ball off to, like, Victor Gonzalez, and then you hand the ball off to Jonathan Loaisiga. Game over. Three pitchers used, save the most of your bullpen. You're going to need to save your bullets this year. Gerrit Cole, look, the news on Gerrit Cole is phenomenal. Obviously, in the context of just, like, would you want to lose Gerrit Cole or not? Obviously, it's bad news to not have Gerrit Cole, but only losing him for you know, what is probably going to be 8 to 10 to 12 seems a little bit long now, right? Because if you shut down for 3 to 4, you ramp him up. He said his arm's still going to be live. He's still going to be running around. He's not going to just do nothing. It seemed like that visit for Dr. Elotrosh was more of a precautionary thing. Kind of everything Andy Martino was saying about precaution, seems to be exactly what was going on here. And look, I'm not saying nobody was allowed to be scared. I was on the verge of tears. So I'm not criticizing anybody for being super concerned there, because I was. But back to, you know, Loaisiga and just usage as a whole. Giving him more rest days should give him a little more time for his body to recover. Cole specifically, and Cole saying this was such a good thing to throw out there. He mentioned that it felt like how his elbow feels after throwing 100 pitches. Nestor Cortez also mentioned everybody's dealing with something right now. Because everybody is. Pitchers, their bodies are shot the day after they pitch. Loaisiga being asked to pitch and then pitch again the day after could be killing his body, killing the elbow, killing the shoulder. Giving him that extra rest day might keep his body in the right condition. And I know people are getting on Boone about the Stroman thing. How are they letting him change his schedule? This, and that. You guys aren't pitchers. You guys are not these guys. You are not Jonathan Loaisiga. You are not Marcus Stroman. You should not be dictating without any inside information. Which was what the Yankees have. You should not be dictating what these guys are going to be doing. Yes, the manager and the player are going to have a working relationship on what their throwing schedules look like. The manager's not going to dictate a player throws on different days or more than they should or less than they should. Because if a manager does that, they can get their players hurt. I don't know what's this fascination with, like, the team needs to start Marcus Stroman on opening day. He has to say yes to his manager. He has to be available for his manager. Blah, 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 blah. Sure, we have him on March 28th. And then what if it comes out Marcus Stroman's dealing with hip tightness? He will be shut down from throwing for 10 days and they'll reevaluate him after. And then that 10 days becomes another 10-day shutdown. And another week. Look at what's happened to Kodai Senga. I'm not saying the Mets are misusing him or anything, but they thought he'd be back in April, early May. He had to do another shutdown. He'll be shut down for even longer because injuries linger. They get worse, right? Like, we talk about, like, what if it gets worse for Cole? When that happens with any injury. Look at what happened with Rodon last year. It was, oh, yeah, it's a forearm issue, but he's fine. And then a back problem. And then another back problem. And then he comes back. And then he has a hamstring issue. Back on the IL. Comes back. It's still awful. You get my point? So, you know, injuries can compound. You need to keep these guys on their throwing schedules. In Loaisiga's case, giving him that extra rest, they should keep him fresher. The name of the game is having these guys in the postseason. I don't care about Marcus Stroman pitching on opening day. You could throw a bullpen game on opening day. I don't care. I don't care what the opening day strategy is. I care about how many wins they have at the end of the year, what the roster looks like at the end of the year, who's healthy, who's not, and what they do in the postseason. That's all I care about. And that's all fans should care about. Opening day, look, I'm gonna quote a line from a movie. It's all fugazi. It's all fake. It's not real. It's not real. It's really not real. Like, nobody cares about the opening day start outside of the players, right? It doesn't really matter in the grand context of trying to win the World Series. And trying to win the World Series, the biggest thing, and Alex, the most important thing, and we know this with this Yankee team, it's staying healthy. We started doing podcasts consistently in 2022. That team was a goddamn wagon. And then they roll into the postseason without multiple key pieces. And some of the key pieces that were still there were banged up. Look at Carpenter, banged up. Look at some of the guys they weren't without. They were without Andrew Benintendi. They were without some of their starting pitching. Montas came back and was just awful, right? Like, they were a shorthanded Yankee squad. We do not want to have a shorthanded Yankee squad walking into the 2024 postseason. And then obviously 2023, they were just bad. Like, they just got hurt, and they were just bad. So, in our 2 years covering this team, Alex, is with this podcast, the thing that's held them back is injuries. We know the talent is there. They have the best home run hitter in the world and the best pitcher in the world on the same team, you know? The issue is the injuries. Whatever the Yankees do to try to avoid injuries, I am all for, and I will continue to be all for.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll see how they operate. Obviously, lots of decisions to come up in the next couple of weeks. But guys, always happy to hear your thoughts below in the YouTube comment section. Make sure to like and subscribe as always. And we'll catch you guys on the next Fireside Yankees episode.